Welcome to Stay on Course with me, Julie Riga. My life has been a roller coaster of highs and lows, but what I know to be true is that when we are grounded in our purpose and savor the sweet moments of life, we are truly a success. Today, you are going to get the ingredients for success because life is salty and life is sweet. Together, let's explore the possibilities of our own lives and learn from thought leaders around the globe. Ready, guys? Let's cook it. Welcome to the Stay on Course podcast. We have a very special guest today, Alex Matthew, who is a well-renowned cardiologist and electrophysiologist. And we are here to talk about his ingredients for success. But before we get started, Alex, please tell me, what is your favorite meal?
My favorite meal? Well, it's a South Indian dish. It has an ethnic name, but we just kind of refer to it as beef curry. It's a combination of beef, curry leaves, and coconut, and it's delish. And my mom makes it the best. But that's my favorite dish. On a daily basis, being a cardiologist, of course, I love salmon and broccoli rabe.
I love that you're eating like the healthy salmon, getting your omega-3s in. That's fantastic. So tell me a little bit about your career and how you got to the place you're at right now.
As you know, we went to Livingston High School together and we kind of intertwined during our chorus and show days. Afterwards, I went to Rutgers College on a scholarship, a biology major. Ultimately, I went to graduate school, went to medical school, trained in internal medicine, cardiology, electrophysiology. That took all of 8 years. I've been up in North Jersey for the last 12 or so years. So that kind of is my professional path that got me where I am now. Currently, I work for Atlantic Healthcare. I go to a number of hospitals. Like I said, I'm an electrophysiologist. That means I deal with people with abnormal heart rhythms, people who have or who require procedures like pacemaker implantation, defibrillators, ablations. People come to me with complaints of palpitations, dizziness, people who pass out, people who have cardiac arrest, all of these things.
Wow. And tell me, have you noticed an increase in patients and people coming to you as the result of the pandemic and what's been going on?
As a result of COVID, I think there is, with all the changes that people have had to endure, both in terms of work and life and socialization, I think people react to changes in different ways. Some people can roll with the punches and make positive changes when changes in life happen. Some people just totally decompensate. And that brings a lot of anxiety, particularly if they don't have kind of built-in systems that they can rely on, whether it's, you know, family, friends, or just kind of themselves are built to kind of withstand challenges. And that results in a lot of anxiety. And a lot of the people that I see, anxiety either directly or indirectly affects how they feel from a cardiovascular, from an electrophysiologic standpoint. Because a lot of people come to me with palpitations, dizziness, lightheadedness, and a lot of these things, you know, can be driven by internal states.
And part of that trigger also is the lack of community, the lack of that one-on-one interaction with people. And I think that is something that is so important and that we should continue to nurture and grow. Tell me a little bit about your ingredients for success.
So I think first off, belief in yourself. I think having a strong belief system, me in particular, I kind of have a faith-based system in terms of meditation, prayer, those kind of things certainly help me. And also, you know, faith in God and the power of the human spirit. And if, you know, you really, really want to achieve something, usually there's very little. I mean, you can achieve what you want to achieve if you are willing to make the sacrifices and work hard. Number two, mistakes. I think tragedy and mistakes and things that happen in your life, it all depends on how you react to what happens. In other words, there's a Chinese, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but supposedly the Chinese symbol for tragedy is the same as opportunity. And I think if you look at things, no matter how horrible you think it is at that time, if you look at what can happen, what you can do in reaction to that, it really kind of can change your life in a good way. So I think when life gives you a setback, or if you think you made a mistake or a miscalculation, those are valuable learning experiences. The third ingredient, I think, is a positive outlook. If you look at the things that happen or the people that you see or these, you know, whatever happens, always try to stay positive. And I think that's really invaluable. And part and parcel with that is surround yourself with positive people. Now, I know it sounds sort of Pollyannish, but, you know, I think getting around people who are positive, not that you always need to be around like-minded people, because that can also cause other sorts of problems that we see with social media, where all you do is talk to people who say what you say, believe what you believe, and then you kind of go off track. So I think you try to look at the most positive aspects of people, and that'll kind of confirm your positive outlook. And even when you put your trust and faith in people and they let you down, don't let that get you down, because at the end, you know, you got to keep believing in people and trying to look at the good in people to try to get as much as you can out of it. And then lastly, I think being honest with yourself, being honest with people is really, really, really important. I think exposing yourself for who you are, in other words, you know, if you feel one way, you just say, you don't have to go through the six different steps saying, well, if I say this and if I do this, then they're going to think this and they're going to think that and then judge me and all these kind of things. I think at the end of the day, I mean, obviously there's limits to this. I mean, there's only so much you really want to say, but, you know, in practical terms, if you do, you know, say what you feel and share your story and tell them the human story behind how you feel and what you feel, you'll find that once you engage in people, even if they don't agree with you, you get their respect. And those people who respond when you kind of make those kind of presentations, those are the people that will really follow you and who I term as sort of keepers. So those people will be with you because they understand what makes you tick and they see the genuine nature in you, and you know, you go from there.
And I love all of those things. I want to break down a couple of them and ask some more questions. But before we began talking about these ingredients, we were talking about stress and possibly people coming to you with heart palpitations and things like that. And, you know, you gave so many great ingredients for a great life and outlook. And I'm just wondering, how many of these ingredients are you talking to your patients with when they come to you possibly with these issues?
Yeah, I mean, it does come out, you know, when things, you know, these symptoms come out when awful things happen in their lives. You know, they start drinking, their spouse dies, they have a change in life, they go through a divorce, they gain 50 pounds. All of these kind of things trigger health problems. And so you sort of try to dig a little deeper, like, what happened? Like, why did you do that? And so then if you can understand them on a personal level, then you can kind of say, well, listen, we need to walk this back. We need to do this. You need to, you know, get help one way or the other, professional or not. And if you understand, if they understand that you're a willing partner in all of this, then you can work through it. It's probably not do this and you're better tomorrow kind of thing, but it is something that may take a little bit of work. But if you engage them and they stay engaged, then a lot of times people do work through their issues and people really appreciate that. You can affect change in that way.
Tell me, how, in your opinion, what is the percentage, I guess, of anxiety, stress, and how it relates to the heart? Like, what's the amount of patients that you're seeing with lifestyle stress? Are all those things really the reason for heart problems?
You know, I think everything's connected. It's a balance. And usually if there are too many stressors, the body kind of, you know, tells you, hey, look, you know, this is happening and this is how I'm going to make you feel. And you got to change something. So there's a condition called atrial fibrillation, where the top chamber in the heart starts to quiver. And there is a high stroke risk associated with that. You know, let's say if you grew up in the 20s and 30s and you had atrial fibrillation, you would just have a stroke and then you wouldn't be functional anymore and then you would just die. So I kind of joke with them. I was like, well, you know, this condition may be sort of the body's self-destruct mechanism because you're not, you know, taking care of what you need to take care of. You know, we have to throw everything in reverse in terms of what you're doing, in addition to whatever I can help you with the AFib. But this is really what the body's trying to tell you.
So what is the body trying to tell you?
So, you know, if you have atrial fibrillation, you have a lot of, you know, in theory, if you're younger, you experience a lot of palpitations, dizziness, lightheadedness. You know, you feel like your heart's going a million miles a minute, out of sync, you have shortness of breath. You know, all of these things are common with atrial fibrillation. And sometimes it can be as a result of overdoing it, not getting enough sleep, gaining a lot of weight, drinking too much coffee, all these kind of things where you're just hitting the go button all the time.
Oh, so it is like a lifestyle thing. It's not a genetic thing that causes this?
Certainly there is a genetic component to it. Some people, you can do all those awful things to your body and they just kind of power through it. They never get AFib. And, you know, they'll come to you at 90. You're like, listen, I lived my whole life. I may have this now, but I'm fine. But, you know, there's other people that they do have these kind of things. But I certainly think there's a strong lifestyle component to a lot of the problems that I deal with.
Right, right. Okay, so like the lifestyle piece, if we live by your four ingredients for success, will we stay out of your office? I don't want to come to your office, Alex, ever.
All
so,
right.
Dr. Alex, I shouldn't call you just Alex. I guess I can call you Alex, but
that's fine.
Not that I don't love talking to you, but I really don't want to go to see an electrocardiologist. So how can I stay out of your office and thinking about your four ingredients to success?
So, you know, I think the most important one would be number three, I guess, if you wanted to stay out of my office. If you have an overall positive outlook on things, then you will have a positive outlook on your body. You want to take care of yourself. You want to live healthy. You understand sort of your limits from a physical standpoint, but then try to accentuate things from a mental standpoint in terms of making positive relationships, doing positive things for your body, not engaging in destructive behavior, and really being able to really enjoy life and taking cues from people that are doing the right things. I think that in general, as well as number two, when bad things happen, if you have, you know, number three in place in terms of the positive outlook, then when things do happen, then you're able to manage mistakes, pitfalls, and tragedies and all these things in a good and positive way so you don't slip to the vices that are so easy to access, you know, in our society, because here, you know, everything's on an app. You want to drink, you want to do this, you want to do that, you know, other bad habits, social habits, all these things are so accessible now and people are just waiting to make money off you. So I think if you do, if you observe three and two, that is having a positive outlook and be in a position where when bad things happen, you're able to manage them on a mental level. So then you could avoid having those bad vices kind of creep into your life and take over and then lead you on the wrong track. And that may circle back to number one, which is belief in yourself and faith. So all these things, it's not a one-shot deal. It's sort of something that you have to develop. And it doesn't happen overnight. So you just have to work on it, work on it, work on it. And, you know, hopefully whatever stage you are in life, you can sort of manage whatever it is.
Awesome. Awesome. So those ingredients are, again, believing in yourself, learning from mistakes, being positive, and being honest, engaging with your authenticity. Those are the four ingredients that Alex has shared with us today for success. And as we close, Alex, Dr. Alex Matthew, is there anything else you'd like our audience to know or any reflections as we end this conversation today?
Well, I hope the audience takes away that if you're able to use these little tips in your life, hopefully that results in having a better quality of life, understanding that as a physician, at least in my case, I'm not sure if I'm an outlier. I may be an outlier. People tell me I'm an outlier. But certainly, I think when you're seeking healthcare, look for people who can sort of connect to you in some way that you can partner with. And you're in control. So you kind of have to take charge of your life, take charge of your health. And far too often, we're very passive in what we do. We kind of go with the flow. But there are things that we can kind of do at a very basic level that can lead to overall better health, better satisfaction in life.
My dad, Ennio Riga, was not just a chef. He was my hero. From the hardships of World War II to the heights of culinary excellence, his story is nothing short of remarkable. Now, this story lives on in Stay on Course, a book that is very close to my heart. It's filled with his own words, his recipes, and the wisdom he imparted to me. Just imagine, 4 months before he passed, he handed me his life story, urging me to finish it. In these pages, you'll discover the secrets behind mouthwatering dishes and the lessons he taught me about leadership and perseverance. And trust me, there are some incredible tales in here, like the time he pulled off a birthday bash for Frank Sinatra with just 48 hours notice. So, if you're hungry for inspiration and craving a taste of Ennio's legacy, head over to stayoncoursebook.com. That's stayoncoursebook.com. Grab your copy and let his story ignite your passion.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Stay on Course. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so Julie can continue serving up delectable experts and appetizing content directly to your earbuds. And remember, right now, you have the ingredients to be living the life you are meant to live. This has been a production of The Media Casters.